Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY24 earnings conference call of Fujan Microfinance Limited, hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Bhise from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Muskan. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 4Q FY24 and FY24 earnings conference call of Fujan Microfinance. First of all, we would like to thank the management of Fujan Microfinance for giving us the opportunity to host the call. From the management, today we have Mr. Devesh Sachdev, MD and CEO; Mr. Gaurav Maheshwari, Chief Financial Officer; Mr. Tarun Mendiratta, COO of the MFI business; and Mr. Deepak Madan, Company Secretary and Chief Compliance Officer of the company. As usual, we will have opening remarks from the management team, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Devesh Sachdev for his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sameer, and JM Financial for hosting us. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining Fujan's Q4 Financial Year 2024 results earnings call. As mentioned by Sameer, I am here along with my colleague Tarun, our MFI COO, Gaurav, CFO, Deepak Madan, Chief Compliance Officer and IR. I would like to take you through the key highlights of our performance in Financial Year 2024, in which we delivered strongly on all key parameters in spite of the challenges we faced in Punjab. Request you to keep the presentation handy. If you refer to slide number 5, we had a very strong close to the Financial Year 2023-24 with disbursements of rupees 2,953 crore in quarter 4, and overall disbursement of 10,294 crore, translating to an AUM growth of 23.45% over Financial Year 2023. This is in line with our guidance of AUM growth in mid-20s for Financial Year 2024. We delivered our highest-ever PAT of 505.29 crore, a growth of 30.52% over Financial Year 2023. In line with our customer acquisition-led growth strategy, we added 5.15 lakh new customers during the year, a growth of around 14% over Financial Year 2023. If you remember, this is above our guidance of 10%-12% on new customer addition. Our active borrower count as of March 2024 rose to 38.6 million, one of the highest in the sector. Our NIM expanded by 107 basis points to 11.22% in spite of a tight liquidity environment, as we were able to keep our cost of borrowing in check to focus liability management. This was also aided by our rating upgrade to A+ in October 2023. Our healthy income growth led to cost-to-income ratio moderating by 184 basis points to 36.60%. We delivered healthy ROA and ROE of 4.78% and 19.55%, respectively, in spite of slightly elevated credit cost. Now, I would like to talk about there are three, four items before we dive into the performance of Q4 and for the slides. First, on Punjab. In Financial Year 2024, our portfolio in Punjab was impacted for the reasons already covered in detail in the previous calls. The share of Punjab in our overall AUM has come down to just 2.8%. The on-ground situation in Punjab has stabilized with a collection efficiency of 75% in Q4 Financial Year 2024. We now hold sufficient provisions for Punjab portfolio and don't expect any further hit, subject to collection efficiency holding up. As highlighted in previous call, we had stopped disbursements since December 2023. In terms of efforts on ground, we have increased customer touchpoints with the entire hierarchy mandated to meet customers in both impacted and non-impacted areas. We added to field collection force and telecalling backup. We are keeping a close eye on the situation on the ground and will take a call on fresh business post-elections. Details on Punjab are covered in slide 9 of our investor presentation. The second point I will talk about the credit cost. Our net credit cost for financial year 24 of 3.49% is in line with our guidance given in Q3 financial year 24. As mentioned, we do not expect any further hit from Punjab in financial year 25, subject to collection efficiency holding up. In financial year 25, we do not expect our net credit costs to exceed 3%. We are quite confident of delivering ROAs in a guided range of 4.25 to 4.5% and ROE of 18 to 20%. Now, a few points on the regulatory landscape. Since the implementation of the liberalized pricing guidelines, we have been very thoughtful and measured in our pricing discussions. Also, from the time of our IPO, we have been highlighting that we are very cognizant of the cost to the customer. Currently, we are one of the lowest cost lenders to our borrowers. We have a very well-established risk-based pricing framework in line with RBI guidelines of March 22 and are very transparent in terms of our pricing disclosures. Now, I would like to go to slide number 6, which covers some executive summary on our Q4 performance. Our disbursement grew 24.45% year-on-year to 2953 crore. Our AUM grew 7.32% on quarter-on-quarter basis to 11,476 crore. We added close to 1 lakh customers in this quarter. Our yields remained steady, adjusted for one day less in Q4 in February, with a drop in our average cost of fund, and NIM expanded quarter-on-quarter by 5 basis points to 11.59%. which was in line with our guidance. Our marginal cost of funds continue to trend lower, with Q4 marginal cost to at 10.24%, which is a drop of over 20 bps over Q3. This gives us a visibility for further expansion NIM in the near term. Our PAT for the quarter came in at 132.69 crore, which is Q1Q growth of 4.93%. We are now present across 453 districts, which is one of the highest in the industry. Moving to slide number 9 on collection efficiency, our Q4 collection efficiency ex of Punjab remains steady at around 98.3. If you go to the slide number 20, we opened 211 branches in financial year 24 across our MFI and MSME verticals to take our total branch count to 1297, which is a growth of approximately 19% over financial year 23. 3% of the new MFI branches added are outside our top 5 states. We will maintain similar growth rate of branches in the coming year, with approximately 66% of branches planned to be opened outside of our top 5 states. This, in our view, will aid in our diversification journey over the coming years. This year also marked our entry into AP and Telangana, which along with our presence in Karnataka and Tamil Nadu, which is already among our top 5 states, will help us expand our presence in South India. Coming to slide number 22, which captures our key productivity metrics, our GLP per branch has been following a consistent trajectory and stands at 9.1 crore per branch as of financial year 24 versus 8.8 crore as of financial year 23. Clients per branch of 3,204 remains one of the best in the sector. GLP per RO is again hovering around 1.3 to 1.4 crore. We are also calibrated our average customers handled by our field officer by around 15%, looking at the dynamics in the field. Slide number 23 captures our ATS, average ticket size, and average outstanding per borrower. Our Q4 24 average ticket size has increased by 6% over Q4 financial year 23. In line with our guided strategy, we intend to maintain a healthy mix of growth between customer addition and average ticket size increase over the next year. We expect a 10 to 12% growth both in ATS and customer base in 2025. Our average outstanding per customer has grown by 11% year on year to 28,500, which still remains lowest among the comparable peers. Customers unique to Fusion are 31%, not much change from the last numbers which we shared in September 23. Moving on to slide number 24 on branch vintage, we have a very good mix of seasoned and new branches, which provides a good visibility for future growth. 41 If you see in the slide, 41% of branches are less than 3 years old, which contributes just 26% to our AUM. This will improve as these branches scale up. Moving on to slide number 37 and 38 on key ratios. Our cost to income is steady on quarter on quarter basis, 36.8%. Our Q4 OPEX has slightly moved up. It is because of the network expansion done in last 2-3 quarters along with calibration of customers per RO, investment in technology. Out of this, 53 bits of the OPEX is contributed to MSME business, which is currently in a scale-up stage. With planned investments in line with our growth targets across both MFI and MSME, we will see some impact on the OPEX. However, over a period of time, we are certain that the same will stabilize. Cost to income ratio is a more consistent metric to track our operational efficiency. We expect it to range between 36 and 38%. Now, in two successive years, we have delivered ROA in the range of 4.5 to 5% and ROEs of 19 to 22%. Coming to our MSME business in slide number 39, as of March 24, our MSME vertical ended with an AUM of 531 crore across 97 branches. Average outstanding per client is approximately 4 lakh. It continues to scale up as planned. Huge focus on secured loans. We will give a more detailed update on this business in the investor meet, which is scheduled on 17th May 2024. We continue to maintain a healthy balance sheet with a capital adequacy of 27.53%, ECL coverage of 3.44% on our loan book, diversified liability mix with more than 50 lenders, ample liquidity and sanctions in hand. This gives us a strong foundation for future growth. On the back of a good growth in financial year 24, despite some challenges in Punjab, we remain confident of growing in the mid-20s in financial year 25 with healthy return ratio. I would like to reiterate that we remain steadfast in our efforts in building our business with a view on the long term to create sustainable shareholder value. Thank you very much. Over to Gaurav.
Thank you, Devesh. Good morning, everyone. Would like to speak out some of the key highlights in Q4 FY24. The core interest income of the company grew by 6.67% on quarter-on-quarter basis and 27.80% on year-on-year basis. The total income has also increased to 10.09% on quarter-on-quarter basis and 29.66% on year-on-year basis. As mentioned by Devesh, our marginal cost of fund has further reduced by 20 BPS on quarter-on-quarter basis and 44 BPS on year-on-year basis, aided by our focused approach on optimizing the cost of fund. We will continue to work on optimizing our cost of fund in going future also. As a diversification strategy, we will tap ECBs and debt capital market in this year. NIM has increased by 5 BPS to 11.59% from Q3 FY24 of 11.54 and increased by 102 BPS on year-on-year basis. It is as per our guidance. We will continue to expect some more uptick in NIM in coming quarters before it gets stabilized. We will try to utilize this NIM expansion for creating overlays, keeping in mind consistent ROA and ROE. As on March 31, the pre-provision operating profit is INR 290.68 crores, increased by 31.46% on year-on-year basis and 11.69% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Cost-to-income ratio remains steady at 36.84% in comparison to quarter 4 of FY24 of 36.80%. The operating cost increased by 27 BPS on quarter-on-quarter basis. We have added a couple of employees in the last quarter, which is addition of branches. Apart from that, there are certain other additions which we have given as a rationalization of our client per RO metrics, change in incentive structures, IT spend, and implementation of some welfare measures at various levels. Operating cost of MFI business is 5.59%, MSME business contributes 0.53 for Q4. Coming to slide 10 on Punjab impact, as it can be seen with the uptick in PAR 60, the slippage in Punjab portfolio in Q4 are within our expected range, which we have provided already in Q3, and rest of the pain is already been provided in Q4. The collection remains at 75%. The delinquencies early buckets in Punjab has come down, and we expect minimum slippage from here on, subject to the collection efficiency. We are holding 25% of the provision of the 317 crores of book of Punjab as on 31st March 2024. In Q4, we have increased our management overlay by 18 crores to 59.5 crores for future unforeseen events. Our efforts are to keep increasing the same as mentioned earlier. Please refer to slide number 12. Company has provided impairment of INR 117.80 crores in Q4, which includes 18 crores of management overlay. The credit cost for the quarter is 0.93%. This is inclusive of 8 to 10 BPS impact of Punjab in Q4. The net credit cost for FY24 excluding management overlay stands at 3.49%, which is within our guidance. We have done a write-off of 75.11 crores in Q4, which is 0.73% on the closing portfolio. We have de-recognized the interest amounting to 15.22 crores. The ECL as on 31st March stands at 354.54 crores, which includes 59.50 crores as management overlay. Majorly, it is sitting in Stage 3. The overall coverage for Stage 3 assets stands at 119%. Historically, our write-off recovery is about 5 to 7%. In this financial year, we have received INR 26.81 crores against the write-off. We are anticipating similar recovery patterns in the coming quarters. In this quarter, we have done direct assignment to the tune of 509 crores. Sanction in hand as of 31st March 2024 is 2,736 crores. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Gaurav Kochar from Maraya Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. A few questions, sir. You alluded to that incrementally you don't expect higher slippages in Punjab subject to collections holding up. So in that context, you have disclosed total Punjab portfolio of 317 crore. If you can quantify in terms of the troubled districts where the problem lies, what would be the size of the AUM out of this 317 crore? And if you can give that overall Punjab is at 75, in these troubled districts, what would be the collection efficiency?
Yeah. So in Punjab, totally 35 branches are impacted, and they stand in about 16 districts for us. So this is largely started from the area around Amritsar, Gurdaspur, spread on to the lower districts. But what we've seen, potentially has been that this has held up over the last 3-4 months. We've not seen this impact. Spreading over to more branches of our coverage. We have total 55 branches in the state. So it remains confined in this particular span of districts and branches.
Sure. And out of this 317 crore, if you can quantify how much AUM or ballpark, whether it is half of the AUM which is in these troubled districts, or what would be the total size? And yeah. I'm just asking this because the collection of 75 may not be consistent across. There may be some branches, your collection.
Out of total 55, like I mentioned to you, 35 branches are impacted. So close to 20 are non-impacted branches, right? And so on the AUM front, out of 317, the breakup is largely around 65-35 kind of a breakup, because bulk of the branches have reeled under this particular impact.
Got it. That's helpful. And secondly, sir, total 60 plus that you have disclosed as on March is 35.7. I just wanted to understand how things have moved in April. Is it similar, stable?
Improved? Similar. Because right now, that's what I'm saying. Otherwise, if you remember, when
the last call because we saw some trends in the month of January, and that's why we changed our stance about on Punjab in the last call. But now when we speak, overall, you know, this collection efficiency is holding up. So we have not seen any further deterioration in collection efficiency.
Got it, got it. And with respect to total net slippages, that's a calculated number of around 80 crore, which is total your gross slippage minus the recoveries and upgrades. That was 80 crore. So out of that, roughly, what was it? What was the contribution from Punjab, roughly during the quarter? Or you can give gross slippages from Punjab out of total slippages.
So the gross slippages to Punjab is between 18 to 20 crores in Q4. Okay. Rest is as business as usual from the rest of India.
Sure, sure. Got it. Got it. That's helpful. And so the guidance that you've given of 3% credit cost for next year, does that include...
Less than 3%.
Sure, yeah. Sure. And that includes the overlay that you'll be creating incrementally also.
This is, we are talking about net.
So, Gaurav, as mentioned in our commentary, that because there is a NIM uptick which is still there, we are looking in coming quarters, we are going to utilize that NIM uptick or maybe OPEX rationalization in the later half or the second part of the H2 of the coming year. We will utilize to create buffers in coming quarters.
Understood. So this includes buffer, the 3% that you are guiding?
No, this is basically the head we are talking about.
You're saying total credit cost?
Credit cost we are talking about.
Okay, total.
So, offers will be over and above this.
Okay, got it.
Net credit cost, we are saying that we would like to maintain, you know, we would like that it should come down to, it should not exceed 3%. However, you know, we will, in H2 results, we will give a, you know, if you see how the trends are panning out, we'll further talk about it. But right now, looking at things, we are very confident that the credit cost will come down in the next quarters.
Sure. And sir, any incremental state or where the stress has elevated, or is it just one state that is struggling for now?
No. There is no other
thing else to call out.
State we are facing any issues. Most of the states are doing this business as usual.
Sure, great. And just last question, if I can squeeze in, this is with regards to the cost of fund. So if I look at the slide, the cost of fund both on stock and marginal is broadly now, the gap is hardly 6 basis points. Just wanted to understand with the rating upgrade that we got a couple of quarters back, whether the funding cost will start coming down now because it's a fixed, most of your book is fixed, or there is a reset period. So when do you start expecting the incremental cost of fund to trend lower from here?
So you will start looking at this coming in the first quarter onwards. Because whatever repricing which we need to do, we have already done that. And the incremental sanctions, as mentioned, that in a year last which we have, where we have two rating upgrades, our marginal cost has decreased by 44 BPS. Now it will show some impact in Q1, Q2 going forward.
Understood. Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks a lot, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit a question to 2 questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Pranav Gupta from Ioneas Alpha Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So just a clarification from one of the previous comments. You mentioned net credit costs would be less than 3% for FY25, which is obviously lesser than what we reported this year. I sort of missed some part of that commentary. Did you mention that overlays will be over and above this guidance, or will it get included in this guidance? That's the first clarification.
Overlays will be over and above. We are talking about net credit costs.
Okay, sure. So the next question is, you know, if I look at some of the metrics that you keep reporting on a quarter-on-quarter basis, if I look at, you know, the number of customers per branch, customers per RO, the disbursement ticket size on a QOQ basis, all of these have sort of gone down. Is this just because some of the branch openings were back-ended, or is this something which we are consciously doing on a structural basis and is going to continue going forward? How should one think about this?
So, look, we have added 55 branches in this quarter, Q4. Otherwise, there's only structural change, Pranav, but which we are doing is that number of customers handled by the field officer is where we have done that around destination of around 15% there. Looking at the field dynamics, we have done extensive study in the field and looking at all the dynamics. Other than that, everything is because, you know, we added people. If you see today, even the number of customers per branch, we are one of the best. We are hovering around 3,200. This will be around that range only. If you look at the outstanding per branches, again has moved up. So I don't think there will be any structural change in any of this metric. This is all business as usual, because, you know, even in the Q1 you will see, because we are front loading a lot of branches in the first two quarter. So, but there is no structural change. You know, if you see, look at our contribution of branches on as per the vintage, more than 3 years, which we provide. So you see all those 60% of branches contribute to 74% of portfolio. All those metrics remain same. Otherwise, we do not see any other change. Even the number AUM handled by per RO, I think that's more or less similar. So there is no structural change there.
Right. No, sir, thank you. And just one last question on your costs and branch expansion. You mentioned that, you know, the branch expansion pace would remain similar in this year going ahead as well. And a cost-to-income guidance of 36% to 38%. Is it fair to assume that most of the branches that we open would probably be in you know, newer states like AP, Telangana? Or do we still see some headroom for expansion in top 5 states? I know you mentioned that 60 to 70% of incremental branches will come from newer geographies, but just trying to understand on AP and Telangana specifically.
So top 5 states, branch opening will be only 17%. So around, you know, last year if you see, out of 181 branches, 32 branches came in top 5 states, which is around 18%. This year, around 50, which is again 17% of the total branch network. Most of it, you know, so around the southern states will contribute around 31% to our branch network. Others will be around, you know, 34%. So that's how it is. And we are going to split around 60 branches, which is around 20-25% of the branches will get split where the portfolio has moved up. And these definitely are in some of the top states, like, you know, we will in Bihar, in Uttar Pradesh. But overall, I think you would have seen that our top 5 states are still hovering around 70.4. As we remain committed on diversification. If you see, we have the highest, you know, overall spread as far as district is concerned. So if you, and not a single district where our portfolio, the highest portfolio in a district is around 1.52. So we remain committed on diversification, and you will see that this will panning out in this financial year also.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, and good luck for the future quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Congrats on stable performance. So I'm just, many of my questions are answered. Just two questions. Firstly, the gap path is to be 36.
Rajiv, we can't hear you. Hello? Hello?
The line got disconnected. We will take the next. The next question is from the line of Rinesh from ICIC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So just two questions. One on the collection efficiency, which sort of was sustained at 98.3. But I'm assuming this is including arrears, right, sir?
Yes.
So what is the ex-arrear collection for this quarter and Q3?
Yeah, so this ex-arrears for comparable numbers is around 95%.
For Q4?
Yes, for Q4.
And what it was in Q3? I think it was 95.5, if I remember correctly.
No, I think it was around, 95.2 is what around you mentioned, around the same number, around 95.2, yeah.
Got it. So, there was just one follow-up on that. I mean, let's say when we look at the ex-arrears collection efficiency, it is still lagging the industry trend. So, is there any specific pockets which are causing this stress, or this is the industry level phenomena and maybe the same will reflect in other numbers in maybe going ahead? I mean, how one should look at this data point?
So, I think, Ramesh, relevant observation, I think what we should do is have this relative comparison with A, with our numbers quarter on quarter, and like Gaurav mentioned earlier. So, we have obviously about 317 crores of Punjab portfolio, and as I mentioned that, 65% of the branches are in impacted areas. So, yes, that definitely, but I think overall, other than Punjab, I think we have been able to stabilize and improve in some of the states, like you mentioned last time. But comparing it with sectors, I think there is no published information which is available, but secondary information typically tells us it's in the same range, right? So 95% ex-arrears is largely around what we see, what we gather from our information in the field. So that is what it is.
Got it. And Tarun, again on that only, so let's say when we look at the portfolio concentration, top 5 states like 70%, which has been applied since quite a long time. So it is fair to assume that maybe outside top 5 states, the collection efficiency will be lower, and hence we would not want to go to those areas.
I think top 5 states are only because of a concentration standpoint, and I think it's more to do with the total demographics of the state, including the eligible population and the target segment. But I think there are states outside of top 5 which perform very well, right? And we are very, very positive on those states, and we will continue to grow there as well.
Okay. Thank you, Tarun. There is just one last question on the strategy front. Let's say we have seen that people are moving from a monthly to a weekly model as they reach scale. What is your thought on that? I mean, do we continue to operate on a monthly model, let's say even at this scale, or maybe the next 3 years will be probably double of the balance sheet size? And on that scale, monthly is a good model. I mean, what is your thought on that, sir?
Yeah. So, Ranish, I have two observations. One, we will show the data which we from Credit Bureau on 17th. I think the difference in credit cost over whether it is a fortnightly, weekly, or a monthly is not much difference. Data will show. I think that will. I hope that data will put to rest a lot of things which are talked about the frequency or this thing. However, the second point, we are in the newer states we have entered. We are doing fortnightly. So now today, 20% of our branches are fortnightly. So we are taking a hybrid call. Because there are geographies like Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, where the microfinance activity was closed for over 12, 13 years. So we said that because we are starting new, we have moved, we are doing a fortnightly there. But I can still tell you that when we look at the portfolio breakup between these two, there is not much difference. But we will follow a hybrid model. There are states like, we have opened some few branches in Maharashtra this year, 8 branches were newly opened in Maharashtra. looking at the geography, we said we will do fortnightly. So we'll follow a hybrid model between fortnightly and monthly.
Got it. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavik Dave from Nippon Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Just two questions. One is broadly on the sector, sir. Just wanted to get your view in the sense that is this turning out to be 95-96% collection efficiency kind of a model, which used to be 99% pre-COVID, and a 3% kind of credit cost model, considering there will be different states having different events at any given point in time. So maybe, and the rules of the game have changed considering the 2-3 lender rules that has changed, and now it's more household income, people transitioning to individual models. Do you think that is leading to some bit of over-leveraging of customers? Is that visible out there in the, on the ground in your view, considering rural has been quite weak? When we look at other macro data points, rural has been struggling. And maybe that is one of the reasons that post-COVID things have just maybe deteriorated for the economy from the rural segment. So do you think this is a 3% kind of sustainable credit cost model in your view? And how would your collection efficiencies be different north versus south, right? Because you're a little more central and north focused player. Does that also play a role in terms of the collection efficiency? Because I think what we end up doing is comparing you with a few south-based players, wherein the collection efficiency would be very different, or the economy would be very differently positioned versus how north and center is, central is, sorry. So can you just throw some light on this?
Yeah. Hi, Bhavik. Very good point. So let me first talk about the last point which you asked. Look, if you look at today, our core states, Bihar, UP, Bihar and UP, we are of a collection efficiency, even the daily collection efficiency, today's demand collected today is hovering at a very, very good rate. So there are overall collection efficiencies are hovering anywhere between 99%. So we are not seeing anything in these core states. You know, we are diversified. There are certain northern states which have lagged, like we mentioned, because of the floods. Some part of Rajasthan, now Punjab we already highlighted, Haryana. So those are still coming up. Even Haryana has improved. So I think you are right. There are as a diversification, as a pan-India player, and mostly from North India, you could say that the economies are different, but still we would like that we should be in best in class as far as our business processes are concerned, as far as collection efficiency is concerned. And so the second point is what we are seeing in the overall field is that, and which you rightly mentioned, that you know there are 2-3 things are happening. One, definitely there is a pressure on center attendance, because this all got disrupted during the COVID. We are running a very huge campaign now in our branches to make sure the customers, we are building incentives for customers to come to the center meeting. And other thing is, yes, earlier same day collections were very different. Now they are slightly different. But that's how the when the sector matures, sector changes, these are dynamics. Customer may not pay today, but customer will pay in next 2-3 days. That is also happening. That's why if you see overall collection efficiency is around, you know, more than 98%. But yeah, there will be 3% or 4% lag here and there between collected within the month. So if you see, right, that is one of the reasons we have rationalized the number of customers handled by our field officers, which was hovering around 555 customers, which have now we're trying to hover between 450 to 475 customers per field officer. Second thing is that we have now we are completely revamping our collection vertical, putting up a complete collection vertical as you see in any mature asset class. That is also one change. So I think this is I would say that this is more of an evolution. Customers still remain committed. There is a demand for credit. People are cognizant of their record in the credit bureau. But yes, you're right. The credit costs will not be what it was pre-COVID. You're right. I'll still say that
we would like that the credit cost to be hovering anywhere between 2.5 to 2.75. That's what we're saying we should, because from where we are, we ended at in 24, we 25 would definitely like to improve there, and that's why we said it should be less than 3. One more thing, Bhavik, is very important, is that if you see, this whole liberalized pricing guideline has also come because of these sectors. We all have to appreciate, even the regulator has looked at all the data, that there are such situations which lead to higher credit cost. And now you see, if you look at our case, we are, in spite of slight elevated credit cost, we have been able to deliver consistent ROA of more than 4.5 and ROE of 18 to 20%. So I think what we have to see is that there are elbow rooms, there is a risk-based pricing, there are states where we have already put the states into high, medium and low. There are states where you can have a differential pricing to cover your credit costs. I think the important metrics here to see is that, even if you say 2.5, 2.75 kind of credit cost, still we are in a position to give a robust, metrics on all fronts.
Correct. And just to follow up, one question on this is that when you look at this year's performance, right, like we closed at 4.8-4.9% ROA, you're guiding for a 4.6-4.8 with an improvement in credit cost. What am I missing? Like, why is it either flat to what we reported in FY24, considering our credit costs are coming down by 50 or more basis points in this year? So what will be the factor that will not let us be on the higher end of that 4.6-4.8 or around 4.95% ROA, considering we have a significant improvement in our credit cost this year versus what we reported in FY24, and margins are on the up move or stable at where we are. Operating expenses, like you mentioned, 36 to 38%, which is broadly where we are today. So what am I missing? Like, why do we not touch a 5% ROA for FY25 at least, considering credit cost improving in FY25. Just wanted to understand what is the missing point.
Yeah, no, Bhavik, you see, since when we came for the IPO, we have been saying our long-term ROA will hover between 4.25 to 4.5, which takes into account any blips here and there. So what we are again emphasizing is our ROA, ROE guidance are for long-term.
Sure.
So that's what I'm saying. These are not for this financial year. These are for long term.
Perfect. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning, and thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of them. To begin with, Devesh, in your opening remarks, you did mention that the company has created adequate provisions towards the Punjab portfolio. Could you just quantify what's the quantum of provision that we are carrying against Punjab portfolio?
So, Umang, as mentioned, that we are carrying 25% of the provision on our 317 crores of book. So, effectively, we have a provision of 80 crores. Near about.
And this 80 crores would be sitting probably across stage 2 and stage 3.
So one largely is as I mentioned in my opening remarks, that the opening buckets are being stabilizing, being collection efficiency is getting stabilized at 75%. So whatever pain needs to be coming in stage 2 and stage 3, it's already being taken care as the upfronting, which you have seen in Q3 and Q4 now.
Okay. The second question was, it would be really helpful if you could just give us some guiding thought process in terms of the whole management overlay provisions. Now, I'll just give some context here, right? Now, while we appreciate that currently we have about 60 odd crores of management overlay provision that we have, but what is the guiding vector which the management keeps in mind when you guys either create or utilize the overlay provision? So let's say today we have close to 3% of the portfolio where the collection efficiencies are dropping by the quarter. Let's say in the third quarter, we utilized 20 crores of management overlay provision to some extent towards the Punjab portfolio. In this quarter, we have created about 18 crores of management overlay provision. Now, if let's say the PAR 60 book it has already crossed 30%, why not aggressively run down this portfolio and probably if at all there are recoveries in the future, as a matter of prudence, take the hit today and why not account the recoveries later on? Or is it just a deferment of credit cost as we see because the management overlay is sitting, but at some point we have to utilize the management overlay, right? I mean, I just want to understand the broader thought process out here.
So first, I will answer the second part. Gaurav will answer the first part, Umang, is that you asked fundamental question. What is the thought process between creation of the management overlay and usage of the credit? Am I right? So, yeah. Look, our, you know, the basic thought process is that any quarter where we will see that we have the profitability is better and we are giving metrics which are, you know, near to what our guidance is on ROAs, we will create buffers. So that is the basic thought process. And we, because we believe that this sector goes through, you know, you have some blips here and there. So it is always better to have an extra cushion. And you all could see that we used 20 crore and then we, and these will be used for among exceptional situations. Like Punjab was an exceptional situation. This will not be used for any day-to-day or this thing. So that is the thought process, and that's what we are fundamentally are able to even prove that we had, we used 20 crore and we have recouped 18 crore out of it. So that is the basic thought process on our the thing. The second is if you see the overall our provision coverage has already last from last quarter to this quarter has already moved from 107 to 119%. Let me also say this, that there is a overall, you know, commitment to increase this coverage ratio, and you will see in the next 3 to 4, 4 to 5 quarters as this is this reaching, including the management overlay, we will take it to a you will see an increasing trend on the provision coverage ratio. So this is on the fundamental aspect. The second part of
So like Devesh had mentioned, we are going to utilize this management overlay in an exceptional scenario. And if you see that Fusion has a presence in 22 states, 453 districts. So what is going to happen? Because this event can happen in coming quarters or not in maybe next 4 quarters or the next year. So if any district also gives me near about 1-1.5% of blue, then obviously I am able to utilize that particular situation. So this is all towards an impression that we want to create an insulation sort of position for our P&L going forward. This at this point of time, the number look quite small, but going forward, as Devesh has mentioned, the intention of the management is to create and increase this management overlay over a period of time so that there can be an insulation which we are not able to see right now, but going forward it can come, it can't come. So that's the way process.
Gaurav, while I truly appreciate that, but where I was coming from is that when we reported our Q3 numbers, that December PAR 16, Punjab was 12-13%. When we had our call in Jan, it was about 20%. Today it is 36%. I don't really know where is it standing now in April or May, right? So I'm saying that probably Punjab is that exceptional situation, right, where probably with every passing quarter, it appears that the utilization of the management overlay will only become more and more critical. Then why not bite the bullet and utilize it simply because this portfolio is smaller, but it's dampening the overall collection efficiency numbers anyways, right? And the hit has already gone through the P&L, so why call it out as a management overlay and not take it as a credit cost is what I was trying to understand.
No. So like in last quarter, what we did is that proactively we moved from stage 1 to stage 3. Now in this quarter, there is a movement of 20 crores, which has already, so we have already covered 100 crores out of, if you calculate out of 317 crores, 35% is 113 crores. We have already covered in stage 3 as approximately 100 crores. Apart from that, there is a management overlay which we have already created over and above that. So I think that is what we have said in opening commentary, that Punjab related pain is being taken care of as being collection efficiency at 75%. And Devesh has also mentioned that in April, the collection efficiency is remaining at that level which we have quoted for March.
Okay.
So incrementally, we don't see that anything which we need to provide further for Punjab. We have sufficiently taken care of whatever the pain, because if you see that in my earlier statement, one of the question or in the commentary, that the new slippages to 0 to 30 had been reduced in Punjab because of stabilization of collection. So there is no incremental pain which needs to be taken in provisioning.
Understood.
And Umang, if you see, even our write-off policy in the middle of the last year, we have already accelerated from more, you know, what day we were writing off after 365 days, we are now writing off 270 days.
Sure, got that. And this last question is on operating efficiency now. Again, Devesh, you did mention that you guys have been calibrating, let's say, borrowers per branch or the relationship officer, the number of borrowers that he manages. So is it fair to assume that incrementally, let's say, the growth that we are guiding for will require equal amount of physical distribution expansion, or at some point we should start seeing AUM per branch or AUM per officer sort of metrics kind of starting to improve, which have been kind of stagnating for past 3-4 quarters now?
Yeah. So one, you know, we said that, look, customers per branch, Umang, we have one of the best. If you compare this with this thing, there's a difference of anywhere between 500 to 1,000 customers per branch. We are at 3,200. We can share the data with you. If you look at the comparable, overall peers around this. So we already, you know, doing well there. The second is, because of our risk metrics, we split the branch after the branch which is a certain skill. This is more from our managing our risk. The third, we only metric which we are saying is changing is the number of customers handled by a field officer. However, you see that overall there will be a around 10 to 12% increase in the ticket size, in the average outstanding of the customer, and that will should take care of. You will see that in Q4, because you know the first 2 quarters you will be where we'll be opening these new branches and those metrics may not be visible, but then you will start seeing that change happening and you will see that overall, you know, metrics moving up, you know, in Q4.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for patiently answering my question.
One more last point is, I think, important metrics for you to really focus on in the cost to income. If you see, we are still, you know, we are between 36 to 38%. But another aspect is that because our, you know, MSME is scaling up, which is also contributing to the overall OPEX. But if you look at standalone OPEX at MFI level, we are very, very competitive.
Sure. Perfect. But thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to one question per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Nidesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Good morning. Can you share PAR 30 data for microfinance ex of Punjab and on Punjab and PAR 30 on MSME book?
We provide PAR 60 data, Nitesh, which we can provide.
Sure, so PAR 60 also will be useful.
Yeah. It is 3.10%.
3.10 on for which book? So I won't think it's X of Punjab, Punjab and
no,
MSME book.
This is inclusive of Punjab. X Punjab we will share you later.
This is inclusive of Punjab. It's overall at an overall book
level. MSME book also if you can share. Part of
speed. So we'll share the data separately.
Sure.
So we are going to finish talk about it in more detail when we meet for on 17th.
Sure. And secondly, if you can also share the reason why we are changing our name or proposing to change our name from Fusion Microfinance to Fusion Finance Limited.
Yeah. So as we are now wanting to, as we are diversifying our overall book by MSME, so what we could see is that this was creating confusion because if you open a branch, MSME branch, it says microfinance. Our ability to, so that is one. And then even when we are looking at, more products going forward, so we thought that it is better that, we show that commitment by changing our name, and we put the similar explanation to the regulator and they have approved this thing and we've got this name approved from ROC. So I think this, however, microfinance will remain our core and we are completely committed on that. But around that, whatever elbow we have available of 25%, we would like to utilize that to do more products as we have already now building MSME. So that's the thought process.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The last question is from the line of Viral Shah from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question. So basically with regards to the Punjab portfolio, right, first of all, you mentioned that the collection efficiency over there is 75%. Is this on a quarterly basis or is this for the month of March 24?
This is for a quarterly.
So then in that case, because in Jan, you mentioned that the collection efficiency in Punjab was around 80%, and for the full quarter, if this is at 75%, does it mean that the collection efficiency in March on an exit basis was lower than 75%?
It is that level only. That's why if we have seen any change in the trend, we would have definitely called out. If we are not calling out, it is basically because of the fact that the collection efficiency has remained similar.
So then can you help me with the monthly collection efficiencies in Punjab for Jan, Feb and March?
Sorry?
The monthly collection efficiencies for Jan, Feb and March in Punjab?
It is more or less, it is not right now we have, but it is more or less in a similar range.
Okay.
So we said that it came down to around 78% in January because when we last did the call. But after that, it is hovering at that level only, 75%. We looked at the April. Yeah.
Fair enough. The second question is basically on the X of Punjab portfolio. So we saw that quarter on quarter, the collection efficiency declined 10 basis points. What is driving that? Or is it just a seasonal thing which is there?
Yes, so you're right, we mentioned that. So this is about 10 basis points only, right, like you pointed out. And there is, like I said, so Gaurav already said, mentioned that, so there are no any special events or something like that. It is just about a few fraction basis points in a particular region or state, and this is largely in the same range. So, 10 basis points of drop on such a large portfolio with across 4 million customers really. It's something that we really bake in terms of saying that it's in the same range.
Fair enough. And the last question is basically 2 quarters back you had called out some stress in the Gujarat and the Rajasthan states also on a relative basis. Of course, nothing on the scale of what it is in Punjab. But I see that in last 2 quarters we have added branches in both of these states. So what is giving us that confidence?
Yeah, so I think this is a question which was raised earlier also out of the top five states, And we mentioned very clearly that, you know, there are promising states and we continue to build our network there, have that conviction. So, we have added branches because we think that there is potential, and we continue to monitor our and we've seen improvements in terms of both Gujarat and Rajasthan, be it in terms of levels of collection efficiency or customer satisfaction. So we have not seen any reason why we think that we need to, not expand there. And we are expanding in a very calibrated manner. So you would have seen that our expansion of branches in Gujarat and Rajasthan, so I can tell you for the entire year, we would have added close to about, just give me 1 second, about about 17 odd branches, right? So it's not really too significant a number out of the total number that I added. If I added 181, so it's about 10%, and kind of similarly in Rajasthan. So we continue to maintain our network optimization there.
Fair enough. And the last question is with regards to the lending rates. So we have seen that a lot of the peers now coming and saying that they are going to take a rate cut. Where are we on that, and what is our stance?
We are, if you remember, I had, because of this aspect only, I have covered this, that on the regulatory landscape, we have mentioned, in my commentary I mentioned that since the implementation of liberalized pricing guidelines, we have been very calibrated. We are one of the lowest cost to our borrowers, and we are absolutely well established risk-based pricing framework in line with RBI guidelines, and our pricing has been, disclosures are very, very transparent. There is no plan in the immediate future to reduce the rates.
Fair enough. That actually gives a lot of clarity. Thank you, Devesh, and all the best.
Thank you. As that was the last question for the day, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shreya Limpe from GM Financial. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you everyone for joining this call. We would like to thank the management of Fusion Microfinance for giving us this opportunity to host the call. Thank you.
Yeah, so if you could allow me 1 minute, I think one important aspect here is that we have done growth. We have ticked all the boxes since our IPO. Our ROA and ROEs are still more than what we guided for, in spite of slight elevated cost, and you can see that we have made the highest profit this quarter. I will again like to drive this point that please look at us from a long-term perspective. We are very focused on making a very wonderful franchise. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.